Please remain standing for the reading of God's Word, which this morning comes from Psalm 92. Psalm 92. This is God's Word. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High. To declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness by night, with the 10-string lute and with the harp, with resounding music upon the lyre. For you, O Lord, have made me glad by what you have done. I will sing for joy at the work of your hands. How great are your works, O Lord! Your thoughts are very deep. A senseless man has no knowledge. Nor does a stupid man understand this, that when the wicked sprouted up like grass, and all who did iniquity flourished, it was only that they might be destroyed forevermore. But you, O Lord, are on high forever. For behold, your enemies, O Lord, for behold, your enemies will perish. All who do iniquity will be scattered. But you have exalted my horn like that of the wild ox. I have been anointed with fresh oil, and my eye has looked exultantly upon my foes. My ears hear the evildoers who rise up against me. The righteous man will flourish like the palm tree. He will grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still yield fruit in old age. They shall be full of sap and very green to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Thus far, the reading of God's Word. You may be seated. Let's pray together. We thank you, Lord, for your grace. We thank you for your ordinary means of grace. Thank you, you meet us where we are, that you come to encourage us and edify us and strengthen us. We thank you for your grace and ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning I am going to begin a 6-part series entitled The Christian in the Autumn of Life. My inspiration for this series comes from the appendix of a book by Archibald Alexander, A.A. hereafter, of Princeton Theological Seminary. He was Princeton Theological Seminary's first professor from 1812 to 1851. The book itself is entitled Thoughts on Religious Experience, the appendix of which includes 5 letters to the aged, penned when the author was in his early 70s. I will be referencing these letters both implicitly and explicitly throughout this series because of their tremendous insight and usefulness. In the foreword of the new edition of this work, the editor reminds us of what A.A.'s purpose was for these 5 letters in the 3rd letter. He says this, quote, "He examines more deeply the duties of those who are advanced in their years. That is, what would the Lord have them to do? There are always opportunities to do good in every condition of life, even when the hands are feeble and the back is bent with old age. As long as one has breath, one can speak words of wisdom and encouragement to the young and offer prayers for the good of the church. Instead of growing weary of life and bemoaning the inability to actively work and serve as in days past, the elderly have a special duty to be prayerful, thankful, praising God and glorifying Him with the heart, if not the hand, most particularly in the final chapter of life." The quote goes on to say, one here is reminded of blind and elderly John Milton's famous line. John Milton, 1608 to 1674, was, among other things, an English poet most famously known for Paradise Lost. When he was blind and elderly, he wrote, "They also serve who only stand and wait." Unquote. So we are, all of us here, passing through different seasons of life. Some are in their spring season. Some are in their summer. And others are in their autumn. And even if you are not in the autumn season of life now, you will likely get there eventually. And so it is my sincere hope that as I preach through this series, the younger members of the congregation will realize the benefit of these sermons to them as well and stay attentive through them, because there is much to consider for everybody in this series. The younger Christians among us need to understand that faithful veterans of the Christian life have learned a few things, not just about doctrine or not just about the church, but about life in general. And it would be to the benefit of every younger person to learn from the older folk in the congregation. Young people, let me let you in on a little secret. Successful and influential elites in business, banking, medicine, law, politics, etc., they all understand the importance of building a legacy by passing on their knowledge, expertise, and family heritage down generationally. And most of their descendants get it. You know what else these successful power brokers of society and culture do? While they do everything in their power to ensure their own enduring legacy, they also do whatever they deem necessary to undermine yours. Why? To reduce the field of competition. While they see to it that their children and their grandchildren receive an inheritance, get a solid education, or learn trades, understand finances, and are committed to their family legacy, etc., they also promote the dissolution of the family among the rest of us. They sponsor self-destructive ideas through the media and entertainment to make it easier for their descendants to succeed by undermining your idea of success. It behooves younger generations not to fall for that trap. One way not to fall for that trap is to listen and learn from those with wisdom and experience in the church in the autumn of life. And it also behooves Christians in the autumn of life to be dignified, to be godly, men and women who are worthy of admiration and respect, vessels of honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. 2 Timothy 2. All that to say, while this sermon series is entitled "The Christian in the Autumn of Life," there will be something of spiritual benefit in this series for everyone in every season of life if you listen. So how does the Christian faith relate to the autumn season of life? Well, we've at the end of Psalm 92 here, we read this. Verse 12 to 15. The righteous man will flourish like the palm tree. He will grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still yield fruit in old age. They shall be full of sap and very green. To declare that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. So this morning's passage reminds those in the autumn years not to just fade away, but spiritually flourish in the Lord till your last day. Those in your autumn years, don't just fade away, but spiritually flourish in the Lord till your last day. Psalm 92 entreats us to declare our confidence in the goodness of the Lord, to sing his praises. The psalmist calls us to recognize that though the wicked sprout up like grass, they will be destroyed forever because the Lord will scatter the workers of iniquity. And then in verses 12 to 15, we are reminded that unlike the wicked who sprout up for a time and then are scattered, the righteous flourish like a palm tree, like a cedar in Lebanon, not only in this life, but in the consummate life of glory in the life hereafter. In verses 14 and 15 say, they shall bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. For what purpose? For what purpose? To declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Bearing fruit, being fresh, flourishing, or fat and green are horticultural metaphors for Christ's continuing work of the Spirit in the lives of his dear saints in their autumn season. Christ continues to work in us by his Spirit till our last day so that we might be able to bear this testimony. He is my rock, and there's no unrighteousness in him. Paul says it this way in 2 Corinthians 5:16. Though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. Christians in the autumn of life may not be able to physically spring up to a standing position after sitting cross-legged on the floor for a half hour like they were once able to. But spiritually, God empowers you to be full of sap and very green. By the mighty working of his Holy Spirit within you, to use you to contribute to the building up of his church, to be an example of sincere piety to the youth as you run your race with endurance that is set before you. As these youth see you fixing your eyes on Jesus, Hebrews 12. Now, it would be easy to say to oneself, I've put in my 40 or 50 years of serving the Lord. I've raised a family. I've built a good career. I've made my sacrifices. I've done my bit. Now it's time to take it easy and do my own thing. I've earned it. Honestly, It's sad to see elderly Christians formerly of good character and reputation allow distance to develop between themselves and Christ, or even cherish some secret sin. 1 Kings 11 tells us that even King Solomon, who granted great wisdom, had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned his heart away. For when Solomon was old, it says, his wives turned his heart away after other gods, and his heart was not wholly devoted to the Lord his God, as the heart of David his father had been. For Solomon went after the Asherah, the goddess of the Sidonians, and after Milcom, the detestable idol of the Amorites. Solomon did what was evil in the sight of the Lord and did not follow the Lord fully as David his father had done. Tragic. Tragic. The Apostle Paul touches on this general idea in 1 Timothy 5, but with regard to widows. Now she who is a widow indeed and who is not and who has been left alone has fixed her hope on God and continues in entreaties and prayers night and day. Amen. But she who gives herself to wanton pleasure is dead even while she lives. And even the Apostle Paul says here, prescribe these things that they may be above reproach. And so I exhort those in the autumn of life, choose a higher path, the path above reproach. Honor the Lord till your last breath. Draw inspiration from the Apostle Paul's words in Philippians. For to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. But if I am to live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me. And then a little further on, he says, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. God's calling in our life, young or old, is upward and onward till our final breath in Christ Jesus. Such elder statesmen of the faith don't think of retiring from Christianity because they understand the Christian life is less like a gym membership and more like a marriage. That it is a lifetime commitment characterized by single-minded devotion. Such men and women seek to be faithful to the Lord, which among other things involves faithful, active service in Christ's church, in whatever capacity, to whatever degree they are able, till death do they part. Such elder statesmen in the church don't fade away into a life of obscurity by absenting themselves from the corporate life of the church or by cherishing secret sins. They demonstrate that the church is an essential element of the gospel to those around them who are in the spring and summer seasons of their life by active participation in worship and in the fellowship of the saints. Now, in saying all this, let me offer a few important caveats. First, let me say that I am sensitive to the fact that Christians in the autumn of life experience the frustration of increasing limitations, the bodily pains, the sorrow for loved ones who have passed, the loneliness, the disappointments, and all the other attendant difficulties associated with the autumn season of life. And to be sure, spiritually flourishing in the Lord manifests itself in different ways in different seasons of life. That is understood. And so as I say these things, please understand that I'm not trying to bind the consciences of the age to a treadmill of impossible ecclesial commitments, to be busy for busyness' sake, much less guilt trip those of age into showing up to church for mere attendance sake. My prayer is that the aged among us possess a heartfelt commitment to the Lord that models sincere piety for the rest of us. And indeed, our congregation is fortunate to have such godly men and women of age in the autumn of life in our midst who do just that. And we thank God for them. Second, it is important for aged Christians not to let their physical condition or even their mental acuity dictate their understanding of the Lord's love and acceptance for them. Please remember that God's love for you does not fluctuate according to your physical or even mental health. He doesn't love us more when we feel strong and love us less when we feel weak. God's love remains the same. And so that's why those in the autumn of life need the Word of God just as much as those in their spring and summer years. We need the truth of the Word of God to hold our thinking to account. We all know how important it is to saturate our minds and hearts with the Word of God. Our thought life plays a crucial role in our walk of faith. So much so that the Apostle Paul writes in Colossians 3, 1 and 2, "Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth." One important example, while this is important, is because it can sometimes be the case that as we get older, there is a temptation due to lack of strength or good health to seek assurance in our own past efforts or accomplishments. But here's the thing, while a life of godliness may serve to confirm or support assurance, it is not a sufficient ground for assurance. To combat the doubts and fears of conscience that may rise in the autumn season of life, when the ghosts of past sins and failures come to haunt us, we must ever look away from ourselves to Christ's finished work alone for assurance. Canons of Dort, Fifth Head of Doctrine, Article 10, puts it this way. Assurance is not produced by any particular revelation contrary to or independent of the Word of God, but springs from faith in God's promises, which He has most abundantly revealed in his word for our comfort. From the testimony of the Holy Spirit witnessing with our spirit that we are children and heirs of God. Romans 8:16. And lastly, from a serious and holy desire to preserve a good conscience and to perform good works. Did you hear that? Did you note the order of primacy in securing our assurance here? The first order of assurance is the promises of God found in the Word of God, confirmed by the testimony of the Holy Spirit. And then lastly, a life of piety. It may seem subtle to you, this order, but the order is important. Because if we invert that order in our primary way of securing assurance of salvation is our own life of piety, our assurance will suffer. And so we need the Word of God to ever remind us of all these things. We must remember that there is still much that those in the autumn of life can do to serve the Lord in His church as they rest in Christ alone as He is presented to us in the Scriptures. Let me repeat what A.A. said earlier, what I read. There are always opportunities to do good in every condition of life, even when the hands are feeble and the back is bent with old age. As long as one has breath, one can speak words of wisdom and encouragement to the young and offer prayers for the good of the church. Instead of growing weary of life and bemoaning the inability to actively work and serve as in days past, the elderly have a special duty to be prayerful, thankful, praising God and glorifying Him with the heart, if not with the hand, most particularly in the final season of life. The Bible is full of instruction for those in their autumn years, and we will see that in forthcoming sermons. And the Bible contains several examples of the aged and how they lived their lives before the Lord. Some are worthy exemplars to follow, and other are exemplars to avoid. Or even in the particulars, there is much to learn from in Scripture from those in the autumn years of their life in Scripture. And also we have examples even today. But what does Scripture say? They will still yield fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. I would say our natural tendency is to the opposite direction. And to what purpose? To declare that the Lord is upright. To declare to the world He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. And so as we begin this series, and as we continue through this series, let me remind you one last time this morning. In your autumn years, do not just fade away, but spiritually flourish in the Lord till your last day. Let's pray. That is our prayer, O God. Help us to be faithful. Strengthen us for service in whatever capacity that might be, that we might be your faithful witnesses till that last day for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.